Welcome to the Life Talk Show, sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success with Randy Kay, Diana Hall, and Nikki Tombolides. Our mission is to initiate conversations that enrich and empower your life. And now, today's Life Talk Show. And on today's Life Talk Show, we are talking about a very important topic, I think underspoken about, and that is our first friends, hopefully our lifelong friends, our siblings. So this is not just sibling rivalry, it's sibling relationships, and I have two brothers, and I love them both, and I know they love each other, but they just don't choose to talk about it a lot, and I'd like to throw them in a room with a therapist. And
we have a few like that.
And I feel that this is a really important topic. So we have some amazing guests today, and Nikki and Diana are going to take the reins here in just a few moments and interview our guests, and I'll sit back and let them take
relax.
I'll just relax. let you take the host chair.
See how you're training, Austin.
my mentees. So, but girls, before we bring on Trevor Crowe and Dr. Lehman to talk about, in a more professional basis, the sibling relationship, let's just talk about why we wanted to do this show. I know you're going to talk a bit to the professionals about it. You know, I'm discovering more and more and more that the birth order is not a new topic, and Dr. Lehman's going to talk about that a great deal. But I began to really understand my parents when I realized I was raised by the baby of seven, actually the baby of nine, two of whom did not survive, so the baby of a family of seven kids, wow. And the baby of a family of three. And it helped me to understand my dynamic of my parents with each other. And then I'm the middle child between two boys, so that's kind of my deal. Let's talk about a family of origin to begin with. So, Diana, you are a middle child too,
I'm a middle child, and you just said something really key, Randy. It's trying to understand, because siblings are really our most important relationships from
longest for that matter.
The ones we've
known, we will ever have,
right? And you know, so I think the key is to really understand people and where they fall in that birth order, in that line, and personality, I think is important.
Right. It's not just the order. It's who these other siblings are. Now, my husband is six of seven. I mean, everybody's family dynamic is so interesting.
Absolutely.
If you want to have a conversation at a party, just ask people about their family of origin. So my husband is six boys and a girl, and he's number six. So, you know, clearly in his mind, well, he's like, we're going to keep trying till we get a girl, you know. So, but he grew up with lots of older brothers to tell him what to do and tell him what not to do. And as he says, take him outside and beat him up, you know.
Right.
So
I don't
know. But, you know, it's kind of a key. He's kind of the baby, but not really, because he never had a younger brother. It's just interesting. It's not here to solve anything. As I said, I'm the middle child, but the only girl. So I'm very much a peacemaker, typical middle child. And we'll talk to Dr. Lehman more about that later. But I also am the mother of two and stepmother of two. And it's interesting to watch. I used to tell my children when they'd fight, because siblings always fight.
Clearly.
Just my family?
Yes.
No. Okay.
No.
I can attest to that one.
I used to tell them. It's so, you know, for you, my listener, I have a boy and a girl. They're almost 3 years apart. And that was kind of my dream, that I would have an older brother and a younger sister as my kids, and the older brother would protect his sister. And, you know, some of that really came true. It was a dynamic I kind of liked. And so being both a little sister and an older sister myself, I got that, but I would have been happy to get anything. But of course, they would fight. And the last thing you want to do as a parent is take a side and
absolutely.
Get in the middle. You have a boy and a girl also,
right? Be a moderator.
Yes.
I have my oldest is a boy, and you know I have two, and 3 years apart is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting. And I grew up in a family. I had two older brothers and a younger sister, and both of my brothers. And you know, I think there's a lot that plays into it. There's gender. There's intelligence. There's culture.
There's personality type.
Personality type.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in an Italian family, and traditionally, Italian men are known to be forgive, you know, anybody
so,
by
so
offend.
So good.
But they tend to be a little bit more overbearing, should mm-hmm. I say?
Well, they learn that they have different roles to play in the family. How's that for a neutral way to put it?
That's perfect.
Thank you. That's so diplomatic.
but, you know, and so I had two brothers really that were very protective and almost too much so. And I noticed with my children, my son, who is the oldest, really protects his sister. And so I don't know if it's a brother-sister and birth order relationship or if it's...
Yeah, well, we're going to find out with the experts. I mean, I wanted to protect my younger brother, but there's also a part of me that would look at siblings on TV and go, how come he's not... like the little brother on the Donna Reed show, who's so cute.
How about Brady Bunch? Now, talk about setting up unrealistic expectations.
Right, of siblings.
Right?
Absolutely. Very interesting. And, of course, now we have Modern Family, and that's right. probably the most realistic. Because you know what? And I think our experts will chime in, but we're all experts because we've lived it.
Sure. Yes.
I think that love... you know, love trumps it all eventually.
Yes, because I can't believe you say that.
Yeah,
it's
I have seen siblings, and you've been a teacher for 22 years. I'm sure you taught sets of siblings
Absolutely.
Apart, and I was a teacher as well of drama for 8 years, for 12 years. But I would see siblings come in, and they, you know, we argue, and they argue, talk, you know, say, oh, I wish he was different, but in the end, you protect your sibling.
Absolutely.
You do. I mean, there's a love that kind of transcends everything. So, and that's what Trevor Crowe is, you know, we're going to talk about love being the answer, and I'm really looking forward to having her come on. So that's kind of our personal experience, but just with my kids, I used to tell them, so you're fighting? Good. It's good preparation for marriage. So figure it out.
Well, you know, with that being said, I often think about the boy in the family who has all sisters, and what a great husband that boy will end up being, understanding women. So again, it's a gender thing.
Yeah, you know, and siblings do help shape us, and being an only child shapes us.
Absolutely.
And not that one is better than the other. It's just different. It helps us know who we are, how we identify ourselves, and you know, how we get along with other people. By the way, this show, the entire show today, is sponsored by Dynamic Printing in Monroe. They are fabulous. We love them. They do a great job. It's like anything you could do online, but a door front you can walk into, and you can find them online at dynamicprinter.com. So why don't you guys tell me, you found our first guest, and she is a former member of the WDJZ family, so we're excited. Trevor Crowe is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and her therapy is based on family systems and attachment therapy, so listen.
Yeah, well, she was absolutely delightful to chat with, and she...
Well, we do want to say that Trevor couldn't make it today, so we pre-recorded a bit of an interview, which is fine. We did it right here at WDJZ, so we're going to play it back now, and you guys took the reins as hosts, which is awesome. And, you know, she's a Harvard MBA, a master's in marriage and family therapy, a lot of degrees.
And she has her own show right now?
She has her own show right now on WGCH, 1490 AM. It's called Keeping Connected, which I love. And she's also the author of Forging Healthy Connections, How Relationships Fight Illness, Aging, and Depression.
Right.
And that's got to certainly be part of, you know, sibling is a very, very important relationship, often shoved under the rug, I think, as we get older and go, well, I don't have to talk to that person anymore.
Right.
So her website is trevorcrowe.com. You guys have interviewed her, so let's take a minute and listen in on the interview.
Just want to mention a little bit about your new book that is called Forging Healthy Connections and How Relationships Fight Illness, Aging, and Depression, which I can't wait to read.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's coming out November 11th. And you can pre-order it on Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble.
Beautiful. And I understand you also have a book signing coming up on December 5th?
That's correct, at the Fairfield University Bookstore on Post Road in Fairfield.
Beautiful. So, Trevor, can you briefly tell us a little bit about sibling relationships and how you feel about how they impact our lives?
Yeah, it's incredibly important, our sibling relationships. And there are studies that suggest they're even more important than parenting to a certain degree, because the relationships with our siblings shaped who we are and how we feel about ourselves. And we often hear, you know, that first child tends to be the more conservative one, the rule follower,
mm-hmm.
The parents, you know, that have spent so much time and energy, and it's their first first kid, so they have a lot of focus. Second child really starts to become another person, kind of based on the fact that the elder one is a certain way. So often, and as it rolls out, third, fourth, fifth kids, each child sort of sets up their own personality, the way they view the world, based on almost a reaction to the older kids. And then you combine that up with sibling rivalry, how kids manage to get what they need in a situation where resources are small or short or tight. Because remember, if you're a parent, you're working really hard to keep everybody healthy and fed and going to bed at the right time and all those usual things parents do. And the kids are always competing for that attention and those resources of the parents. Children really form their identities sort of based on and around their siblings at a very deep level.
The age-old problem of sibling rivalry is really something that we all kind of have dealt with, and I always wondered about birth order. But can you talk to us a little bit about parent and the parents sending a message that they favor one child over another?
But they always say they don't.
Well, they say, no, they definitely say they don't, but I think human nature as it is, people tend to do that. Do you think that there is that issue with sibling rivalry as a result of parent favoritism?
Absolutely. And we do have to be very, very aware as parents how our responses to each child sort of comes across. I think what we tend to do is the child that is most like us temperamentally, we relate to. So, you know, we sort of understand and we empathize with that child. And so maybe there's maybe a little less fighting or a little less drama, whereas the child that you have a different temperament from may frustrate you and make you sort of have to respond in a more dramatic way, yell, scream, whatever it is. So as a parent, and this is what we have to do as parents, we're the older, wiser, kind person in their lives. I mean, we're the big people. We have power in their lives. We just have to be really aware of what we're doing and how we're doing it, and we need to show each child we love them for who they are individually and that you take delight and joy in the special talents or interests of each child. And don't beat yourself up. I think this is the other problem. I think we all are so worried about messing up as parents. Well, here's a really good number that gives us all a little breather. All you have to do is get it right 33% of the time.
that takes the heat off, that's for sure.
It's a little bit,
yeah,
right?
One-third of the time, get it right.
You know, if we all kind of take a deep breath and look at the big picture and kind of think, mostly, most of us really, frankly, are doing just fine. And when we mess up, it's a really good idea to say, you know what, son or daughter, I see that I really wasn't there for you the way you needed me to be. And I'm sorry, and I want to make it up for you. Maybe we'll go to ice cream together, or do something special one-on-one. So what I suggest to parents in therapy often is just, you know, make sure you have developed and maintained a relationship with each child and find things that one particular child likes to do, and you really support that and go do something special with that kid.
And so you do have a blended family, and as the head of the family, the mother, stepmom, or birth mom, you really model those behaviors of acceptance and of love so that it really starts to nurture those relationships among the siblings, whether they're stepchildren, stepbrother and sister, or birth brothers and sisters. Can you, as a mom of a blended family, just talk a little bit about how you try, and I'm imagining that you try, to show consistency among both your children and your stepchildren?
That is a really, really big...
And that can be a tough balance and
very
delicate.
Tough balance.
Yeah.
And a really important question, because in one of the top five pitfalls is showing favor to your biological children.
Yeah.
Maybe doing special things with them and not with the other kids. And that is going to get everybody in a bad place.
And they can sense that, yeah.
And again, creating your own relationship with the stepchild or the half-sibling or whoever, you know, again, I'm blended, if you will. You're not going to be the biological parent. But what you can be is yet another committed, loving adult who's available emotionally and non-judging and just saying, you know, I'm going to make this very safe environment for everybody to thrive in, where it's respectful and as loving as possible. No, and this is another pitfall for blended families, is nobody has to love each other, and you certainly can't tell the kids, you know, as they walk
to love each other. Yeah,
love each other. That's not going to happen. But what you can do, and this is again creating this safe atmosphere where there's not sibling rivalry, where everybody feels like they're on the same playing field. Nobody gets special treatment. Everybody just gets what they need when they need it.
So that is the answer. Trevor, I have a question concerning later on as the kids develop their own personalities and their own homes and their own place in the world. What role do parents play to keep the kids connected, the siblings connected later on in life, and if they do play a role?
I believe they do, and I think as parents, even when your children are adults, there still is, you're the parent, and you can't fully always be just their friend. You still have to be one little step a little away. You don't need to dump your emotional stuff on your adult children. I don't think you should. You should go get emotional, maybe a professional help, or talk to your siblings or your friends. I still think there's some difference between parents and children.
Absolutely, I agree.
And again, same thing. Sibling rivalry can be just as fraught. They spent more on her wedding than my wedding, you know,
yeah,
all that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
You want to be as even-handed, mm-hmm. as fair, because kids are, no matter what age, are looking at fairness all the time from the parents, and you want to be careful about it.
Treating each child as an individual.
And their respective needs, rather than bunch them all in the same way, treating them the same way.
It's a really fine balance. But the other part is it's beautiful and wonderful, and as a step-parent, I feel very honored that I've had the opportunity to be in these really incredible kids' lives and young
people. Oh, you're so sweet.
Oh, no, I really feel that way. And the amount they've brought into my life by showing me different ways to look at things and different experiences, I mean, I feel very, very blessed. And there's just a lot of love. And I know, you know, I know so many great step-parents out there. I wish there was a step-parents day, because I know some wonderful...
What a great idea.
Well, you know, I really do believe there's some incredible adults. My husband's one of them, who sacrifice for his children, whether they're step or not, pay, you know, huge sums of money. I've got a history of family that has step parenting all over the place, and everybody's been incredibly kind and brilliant to one another, and in fact created that environment where everybody could thrive.
I know, Trevor, because I'm the baby in my family. The attention, and you get all kinds of perks, but at the same time you pay the price because the siblings resent you.
Yeah, no, you're touching on something that's absolutely there, and unfortunately, you know, as you're saying, there's a price, and then there's also perks. So maybe a part of you was given the sense of being very worthy of love because your dad showered all this love on you, and yet you had to deal with your bitter, you know, your angry, resentful siblings on the sidelines, and that's a really hard thing, and you've had to probably process this your whole life. And it's really good, and it's really not only good, it's profoundly important, truly, to be, you know, again, aware of fairness, because just this is a human trait we all have. We're always comparing, and as kids you don't have much power, so you're sitting there watching a parent shower gifts on the baby and loving her,
yeah.
etc. So of course that's going to create a lifelong sense of just scarcity.
And then these relationships, Trevor, last a life. If you have a trauma, like when a parent, like sometimes I see my sister like, yeah, and you got this and you got that. And it's like so many years now. It's like 30 years past, 40 years past, and we're just carrying on.
It's not a terrible idea to maybe seek out a family therapist, somebody like me.
Yes. Book me in, Trevor.
The hurt is there, and acknowledging one another's hurt and pain of having to go through that and kind of getting to that point of just sort of understanding and compassion and empathy, get all this out in the open, and you guys could move on and see the future rather than constantly digging up and re-experiencing the past.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. It was so wonderful having you. We feel so proud, so happy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's an honor to be on your show.
Trevor, before we go, just one last little bit of advice. If you had to make one suggestion, what would be the most important important thing in your mind as a parent to help to manage those relationships among step-siblings and forge productive and loving, lasting relationships among all of your children?
I think the biggest thing we can do in the world, and not just in our families, but in our communities, is really being loving and compassionate and listening carefully.
I love that.
No, and I think we miss out on a lot of this. And I think if we are good not only to ourselves, many of us have a bigger inner bully than there are bullies out in the world. So we start with ourselves, and then it moves to our partner, and we're very loving and supportive and attuned to our partner's needs. And then that rolls down to what's going on in the kids, whether they're biologically related to or not, and that everybody feels that they're loved. That
they're loved and they're cared. And they matter.
And that they matter, exactly. That their presence, their existence, creates joy and love, and that they're precious in your world.
Trevor, thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor.
Forging Healthy Connections, How Relationships Fight Illness, Aging, and Depression. And if you don't want to be depressed and age quickly, have a good relation with your sibling. And Trevor, just a quick note to tell the audience where our listeners where can get a hold of you.
Oh, find me on the web. My site is trevorcrow.com, TrevorCrow.com. Also, like me on Facebook.
Oh.
Follow all the tweets. There's Twittering too, Trevor Crow, LMFT. And we have daily affirmations. We have the latest in news about what's happening in the relationship front and the science behind it. And
Trevor, thank you so
much. Thank you, Trevor,
very
much.
It was a pleasure having you with us.
You're so welcome.
And that's Trevor Crow on the Life Talk Show. So Trevor was speaking a great deal about parenting of children and how to perhaps prevent some sibling rivalry. But for those of us who are already grown and it's too late, we'd like to talk so maybe we can understand our own issues. And in a moment, we'll talk with Dr. Kevin Lehman about birth order and maybe understanding as adults how we can take the responsibility and get along with our siblings. That's coming up on the Life Talk Show. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met, everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs, with that honest and friendly personal service they've been providing since 1994. Local or shipping anywhere. You can call them at 203-459-8762 or simply visit dynamicprinter.com. Dynamic Printing is flexible and they'll help you with the research and advice you need so that your printing needs match your business goals. They're flexible, and they're right there in person. Again, it's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. Visit dynamicprinter.com for more information or call 203-459-8762. Dynamic Printing, a proud sponsor of the Life Talk Show. Thank you, Dynamic Printing, for sponsoring this entire episode of the Life Talk Show. We've been speaking with Trevor Crow, and in a moment we'll speak with Dr. Kevin Lehman, the author of the birth order book, Why You Are the Way You Are. So if our parents' effect on us is no longer active, is that a good way to put it?
Yes, absolutely.
If our parents' effect on us, if they're gone, or we've grown out of being kids, although we never do where our siblings are concerned, we can learn how to maybe reestablish that relationship ourselves. By the way, Dr. Lehman has also written Have a New Kid by Friday, Have a New Teenager by Friday, and Parenting Your Powerful Child. So he's quite the expert, and we look forward to it. But I'm just going to throw, before we bring in Dr. Lehman, I think what I've observed, and like Trevor, I am the parent of two and a step-parent of two, but because my stepkids are across an ocean in England, the four of them haven't had a chance to fight with each other too much. I mean, it's not that much competition when they're across an ocean.
When
it's very
ocean
right, it's very different. Although my stepdaughter did visit me when my kids were about, say, 17 and 15, and she stayed long enough for them to fight with each other. And I'm like, yes.
Right.
Now they're real. Now it's real.
Now they're connected.
And
connected.
It feels good as a parent to know that they have those connections.
Yeah,
right?
They have those connections. Sure. But, as I said before, when my kids would fight, my rule that I followed was I'm not the referee.
Right.
So you two
Absolutely.
Sit down and figure it out. I'll give you advice if you want, but I'm not taking sides. And I think that helped. And they still fight, but they love each other. And we'll talk in a bit about, what we as adults can do to have our siblings in our life, because a lot of it is about, as you mentioned before, we all have different personality types.
Yeah. Right.
And I totally, my older brother and I love each other. But I think for me, understanding that anybody who studies industrial psychology knows, organizational psychology knows that there's different personality types. And so my older brother is more of there's an I and E, I for introvert and E for extrovert. I'm kind of like, whoa, out there on the extrovert scale. And he's more like, he needed one or two friends growing up. I needed 40.
Yes.
You know, I don't understand him. He doesn't understand me. But then when I understand that we're just different, then I don't, the expectations go away, which is great.
Randy, you have to, because you just mentioned that I want to do a little exercise with the two of you and and our listeners. So I read this interesting article out of Parents Magazine, and it just gave characteristics of firstborn, middleborn, and lastborn. So just listen carefully and see if you can picture or pinpoint or put somebody in each one of these.
Are we giving our answers out loud or what?
Well, think about it, and then we can chat about it.
All right.
So these are the characteristics of each child and where they're in their birth order. So firstborn, reliable, conscientious, structured, cautious, controlling, and achievers.
Okay.
Middle child, which you are, Randy, and you just mentioned, people pleasers, somewhat rebellious, thrives on friendships, has large social circles, and are peacemakers.
Such a textbook case. I'm a
textbook
case, aren't you?
I was laughing. I am.
Hit me now, the baby.
And then the last born, Nikki, fun-loving, uncomplicated, manipulative, outgoing, attention-seeker, and self-centered. So how accurate are these descriptions?
I used to be very self-centered. I'm not anymore, but...
that kind of sounds self-centered to me.
Okay, then. Add that on.
That's great. We're going to learn more about that with Dr. Lehman, who's coming in, an internationally known psychologist. And again, Nikki and Diana taking the reins to interview Dr. Lehman.
Welcome to the Life Talk Show. You're here with Diana and Nikki, and I want to introduce Dr. Kevin Lehman to our audience. He's an internationally known psychologist, radio and TV personality, and speaker. And I have to say, my favorite author, The Birth Order Book. I read that book like maybe 25, 30 years ago. And Dr. Lehman has taught and enchanted audiences worldwide with his wit and common sense psychology. He's also the founder and president of Couples of Promise, an organization designed and committed to helping couples remain happily married. And Dr. Lehman, we're having a show here today about siblings. And we'd love to talk to you more about it. And we have a couple of questions on the subject of siblings.
Well, let's do it.
Sounds great. So, Dr. Lehman, we really have had some conversations, because we're not only do we co-host a show together, but we're friends, and on the side have had conversations about birth order and where we are in terms of that in our own families. And I know that I'm a middle child, and I always joke and say that the middle child is like the black sheep of the family. And I've talked to
some people would say that, but people like me say that the middle children are sort of the peanut butter and jelly in the sandwich.
I love that.
Something a middle child has never heard in their entire life is, "What do you think we should do, honey?" We sort of leapfrog over them, the firstborn sort of rule, and the babies, those incessant little creatures who are so good at getting attention.
Yes, that will be me.
Yeah, they get more than their fair share of it. Leaves the middle child sometimes scratching their head.
Yeah, and I think that probably goes into adulthood in some cases.
Earlier today, we had Trevor Crowe, a licensed marriage and family therapist, and she talked to us about the relationship between siblings can be more important sometimes than the parent and child relationship. How do you feel about that?
Well, there's no doubt about it. The parent child relationship is the key relationship, especially for the firstborn child, because they look up, and of course their models are adults, and so siblings, especially with twins, so they have a profound effect on each other. We tend to play off each other, so the firstborn is sort of the standard bearer. They hear things like, I don't care what she did. You understand me? You're the oldest. I expect more of you, young man or young woman. And that sets up the firstborn to be the natural leader, the astronaut in outer space, the accountant, the engineer. Anywhere where perfection is paid off, you're going to find the firstborn. Back to that second child or middle child, in many cases, there's your entrepreneur, where the CEO and the CFO of a company might be the firstborn of their sex in the family. The middleborn, again, they sort of get pushed aside, but notice who you're pushing aside, Bill Gates Jr. He's done pretty well in life.
I'll say.
Trump, you know, he's got a family of four living in his hair. I understand that, but the man's done okay in life. Steve Forbes, another middle child. So middle children tend to be the ones that walk to a little different beat of the drummer, and then, of course, babies are your entertainers, your comedians in huge numbers, and great salespeople.
Do you think it's because that middle child is trying to climb their way through all of the firstborn and the baby rigmarole that comes with being the middle child? Do you think that's why? And I'm happy to hear that all of these very successful people are middle children. So do you think that might be the case, Dr. Lehman?
Well, I think the middle child is scrambling, trying to get away from those people who irritate them so much in the family. That's why you'll find that they're extremely loyal to their friends.
Right.
And the middle child is least likely to identify with their family until later in life. They tend to be the one that's most likely to, like I say, walk to a different beat of a drummer, but that might mean that they might have a rebellious bent in them as well. So the birth order is never quite just, all firstborns are this way and all middle children are another way, because there's a lot of variables that affect the birth order, like the spacing between the births of the children, the sex of the children. A physically or mentally challenged kid in there will certainly throw the birth order a curveball, and so will twins or triplets.
Yeah. I agree, because you mentioned, I think, in your book, maybe if there is a space between the first and the second child of like 10 years, the second child goes back into being the firstborn.
Yeah, I use a 5-year gap as a standard bearer, because it's kids, you know, they who are 5 years apart, they never went to the same high school at the same time. They never wore each other's clothes. They never had a fight over a ball or a bat. So they literally grew up in different families, and that's another aspect of birth order that lots of times people just don't quite understand.
I have a question concerning how does the birth order of parents affect their parenting style? Because the show today's about siblings, and I wanted to know your thoughts about how the birth order of the parents affect the parenting of the children.
Well, that's a great question, and I try to answer that in the birth order book. And by the way, the book that you read years ago is now out with 70% new material in it, because families have changed so much. I did a major revision of that, like I say, just a couple of years ago. But here's the bottom line on your question. We tend to over-identify with a child that's in the same ordinal position as we are. In other words, if you're a middle child, you're going to have a little extra sensitivity for that middle child. But here's the rub. The child that is most like you in the family psychologically is the one you get along with the best, or you fight with the most. And the answer is the one that you butt heads with the most, fight with the most. So when we talk about birth order in marriage, for example, your better marriages are your firstborns and your babies, and your onlys and your babies. And middle children, God bless those middle children, because they go about with everything. I mean, that's like going down to the blood bank and find the universal donor. They negotiate and compromise as a way of life. And so they make pretty good marriage partners, believe it or not.
And that would be Diana.
Well, yeah, and I had this conversation the other day with a friend, knowing that the show was coming up, about being where you are in birth order, And an interesting point that came up, and Dr. Lehman, you had mentioned, you know, there's a lot of factors. There's gender. There's space between siblings. The other thing that I can't help but, you know, think about that really affects, you know, where you are is intellect and is personality. And all of those things, I think, do play a part in it, would you say?
Well, let's take a look at intellect. There's a study out of Norway. It shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that guess who has the highest IQs, the firstborns. Who are your voracious readers, the firstborns. Books are some of their best friends. And so from any vantage point, if you just look at empirical data of who is most successful in life, you're going to find firstborns. Our presidents have been firstborns in huge numbers and only children. It's rare that a baby of the family is ever elected president of the United States. By the way, for the record, President Obama is an only child. Mm. And some people are saying, no, he's not. He's got a sister. Excuse me. I wrote the book. He has a stepsister that he never knew who's 9 years removed from him. So he grew up an only child. George Bush is a firstborn. Lyndon Johnson was a firstborn. Jimmy Carter and Billy Carter. Oh, my goodness. There's contrast. Right. Jimmy was a firstborn. And, of course, Billy got his picture on a bottle of beer. Bill Clinton is a quasi-only child. He had a half-brother by the name of Roger. And he married Hillary. And Hillary's a firstborn. And here's a great example of marriage.
Yes.
And not a very good one, because poor you got two Hillary. Firstborns. Y'all remember Hillary? It takes a village to keep an eye on Bill.
Right.
And the insiders say that's a rough go. And so again, sometimes when you're in the same ordinal position in marriage, you know, it's just a little bit like taking a Michigan Wolverine and an Ohio State Buckeye and putting them in the same bag and shaking it up for good measure.
You know that the facts are overwhelming. I mean, our presidents. I mean, that's really amazing. And I guess when you take and look at the whole picture, you know, you really can see how that is true, that the firstborn tend to be more successful, more intelligent, yes, more voracious readers because they didn't have the siblings that took attention away from and had them do other things. Question for you, and how do you think that, you know, when we talk about birth order of children, oldest to youngest, and how they succeed in life and as adults, but how about their impact, the impact they have on each other going into adulthood?
Well, they tend to play off each other. So here's a sort of a funny side note to the birth order book. And, you know, I'm so old, I did Oprah Winfrey 5 times in my life, but I'm so old, I did Phil Donahue.
Oh, I loved Phil Donahue.
I remember Phil going to commercial break and saying, firstborn and controlling as I am, we will now go to commercial break. But the original title of the birth order book, which is now, of course, in paperback, the original title, when it was bound with rubber bands and cardboard, as we used to do in the old days, had as a working title, Abel Had It Coming. And the publisher said, you can't have a title like that, Abel Had It Coming. Huh? And I said, why not? I like it. It's got a little family flavor to it. And the point is that the first two children in a family, ladies, will turn in different directions. So whatever the firstborn is, the secondborn is going to go out of their way to be different.
Right.
Which sets up birth order. If you look at a tree and look how branches tend to go off in different directions, that's how it is with birth order. So all these little cubs come out of the same den, but look how different they are. And I don't think that's bad. I think that's wonderful that we're all different.
That brings up another question or another topic of conversation is the whole nature versus nurture thing. What are your feelings about that?
Well, of course, we could discuss this one over Costco Hall, sure. But it's certainly clear that nature does bring specifics to the birth of a child. There's been longitudinal studies where they've looked at kids in nurseries and hospitals and been able to say, well, about is this. The firstborn child, okay, is going to turn one way, but he or she has the best chance of success in life. The astronauts in outer space, you'd say those people are pretty successful in life. Of the first 23,
they're all firstborn.
We're firstborn children. Yeah. And the other two are only children, who are their psychological first cousins, not a middle or a baby in the group.
My goodness.
So from any standpoint, I think that nurture outweighs nature. And I think the reason is that when you have that little firstborn, you have more time to devote to the firstborn. Books are the first proving ground in life in school, and they tend to do very well in school. So if that firstborn takes advantage of the natural breaks that they have, they're going to end up on top of the manure pile of life, whatever pile they tend to climb.
Dr. Lehman, I have a question because I am the baby in the family, and my sister, I have a sister and a brother, and I always said for the longest time I should have been the only child because I felt like I'm the best child of all three.
Well, what's the gap?
The gap, my sister is almost 4 years, my brother 2 years.
Okay, so how do you explain you maybe having firstborn qualities even though you're a baby of the family? Have you ever thought of that?
Well, because my siblings, we traveled around. I'm Greek, my nationality, but we traveled around the world. But I spent separate times with them. But the thing with my siblings are that they gave me such a hard time. I was a doting child. My father, thought that I can't be any better. Like, he was thrilled about it and made all announcements to everybody. But the thing is that I'm grateful that I had them and they gave me such a hard time because I think in a way they made me stronger. As a relationship, we had a very, especially with my brother, was not good. We used to beat each other up when we were kids. And my sister, I always adored her because we were away in boarding school and I haven't seen her. And then when I saw her, I realized she's nuts. So, but the thing is, their relationship. Yeah, but I always felt I should have been the only child, but now I changed my mind. I think I am who I am today because they gave me such a hard time, and I'm stronger. How do you feel about that?
Okay, let me follow up with something that I think will make some sense to you. You're talking to a man who graduated fourth in his class in high school, which sounds pretty good. Unfortunately, it was fourth in the bottom. And not for it. I was in a reading group with a girl who ate paste in first grade. I was thrown out of Cub Scouts when I was 10 years of age. I was thrown out of college as a college freshman in Chicago. So suffice to say that I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. We were Irish Catholic poor people. In fact, I didn't even have a car. We didn't have a car when I was a little boy growing up in Western New York State, and I had a sister who was perfect, and basically still is. She puts newspaper under the cuckoo clock, which I will never understand, and she has never got a B in her life in anything, and I had a brother who was the quarterback on the football team, and, you know, everybody sort of wrote me off in the family except my mom and except my dad. And they tend to believe in me anyway, but a lot of babies of the family will develop an attitude of, I'll show you.
Yeah, I do. I have that attitude.
And when you look at the three Lehman siblings in terms of, you know, one has notoriety and fame and the others don't, I think I get along good with brother and sister. We were a close family, but
yeah.
I sort of chuckle and laugh at and how everybody sort of blew me off. And you go back to our high school, I graduated fourth in the bottom, and they have what they call a wall of fame. And
guess who's a wall of shame, right?
Half handsome little mugshot is on the wall. It's that the baby of the family, not the first two who did so well in school.
Dr. Lehman, Ted Kennedy has a saying that says, and the last shall be first. And I cut it up, the quote, and I put it right on my bulletin board next to my desk.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us as babies have surprised a few people along life's way.
And you did.
There's always exceptions, you know, to the rules for sure. Dr. Lehman, we have so enjoyed your interview, and we're getting close to the end of our time, but we can't let you go without you talking to us about the most recent book that you have out, Parenting Your Powerful Child. Can you just tell us about that?
Yes. You know, that I knew when I penned that book that it would scratch where parents itch, and essentially what we've done, powerful kids are growing in numbers every day because we have tried to rear kids to be happy, happy, happy at every turn. We give them far too many things. We snowplow the roads of life for them. We make excuses for them. Hey, would you kids turn that TV down? I'm trying to do your homework.
How familiar those
crazy.
Are.
It's crazy what we do in the name of loving our children today. And so part of that book, and the book is already on bestseller list, I'm glad to say.
Congratulations.
Part of that book says, hey, parents, you're the ones that taught this kid how to be powerful. And we teach him as early as 18 months old, and you're trying to get an 18-month-old into a high chair, and this kid could win Olympic gold if they had a sport called arching your back. And mom says, honey, just give him to me. And she takes little Fletcher and spoon feeds him on his lap. Now, you be Fletcher for just a minute. Would you rather sit on mommy's lap and be spoon-fed, or would you rather sit in that stupid plastic chair they bought at Walmart?
Right, right. That Exasoft, though, right?
So we pay kids off for being powerful, and today's kids are very disrespectful toward their parents. And they talk back. They say four-letter word their parents, which is hard for a lot of us to even fathom, but it's happening in homes across America. And so I think that parents who read Parenting Your Powerful Child will have a wonderful resource to turn things around in a couple of days in their home. And I think that's the optimistic and the promise that Parenting Your
wonderful.
Powerful Child delivers.
Dr. Lehman, I can't thank you enough for this interview and for giving us your time. And also, I can't thank you enough for being there for me 30 years ago when I was reading the Birth Order book, and it made sense. All made sense to me. Thank you so much for your time. This is the Life Talk Show with
thank you, Dr. Lehman.
Nikki and Diana. And we'll be reading the new version of the Birth Order book and the Parenting Your Powerful Child.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, ladies.
Thank you so much for being on with us, Dr. Lehman. And we should mention, this is so exciting. So Dr. Lehman gave us 5 copies of the new version of the Birth Order book, which, as he said, is 70% of new material. And so for the first 5 people, you have to do 2 things. You have to like our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and search on the top, The Life Talk Show, and you'll see it. So you have to like the page and then send us a personal message on our page that has your mailing address so we can send it to you. So like and comment on the show on our Facebook page, The Life Talk Show, and then send us a personal message with your address, and we will send you a copy of the Birth Order book. So we're talking about siblings on the Life Talk Show, and we'll be right back. We thank our sponsor, Dynamic Printing. We'll be right back, and we'll just kind of sum it up about, all right, so what do we as adults do if the damage has been done to get along with our siblings? This is the Life Talk Show. The Life Talk Show is sponsored by Dynamic Printing at 91 Main Street in Monroe, Connecticut. It's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. At Dynamic Printing, all your needs can be met. Everything from business cards to booklets and catalogs with that honest and friendly personal service they've been providing since 1994. Local or shipping anywhere. You can call them at 203-459-8762 or simply visit dynamicprinter.com. Dynamic Printing is flexible, and they'll help you with the research and advice you need so that your printing needs match your business goals. They're flexible, and they're right there in person. Again, it's internet competitive prices with a storefront you can walk into. Visit dynamicprinter.com for more information or call 203-459-8762. Dynamic Printing, a proud sponsor of the Life Talk Show. And we've been talking for this entire show about the sibling relationship, an often overlooked relationship. We've been talking with Dr. Kevin Lehman, author of the Birth Order book and the new book, Parenting Your Powerful Child. I think we should do a whole show on that in the future.
Great idea.
I had two children who were in danger of being entitled until I smartened up and decided I was the center of the family. But that's another. Yeah, so we'll do that in the future. But, you know, I've been thinking, you know, we're all adults here, at least chronologically, and it's at some point it's up to us whether we're going to get along with our siblings or not. And, you know, and I'll say again, I adore my younger brother. Our politics couldn't be more different. And you know what? We just don't talk about politics. There's certain things that, you know, if someone is in your life, sometimes you have to stay in the here and now.
Yeah.
And give up being right and give up deciding, you know, who mom or dad that's always going to be there. It's always going to be there. But realize these are different people. Birth order is part of it, but someone could be an introvert and someone else is an extrovert. You talked about fame, or he talked about fame and fortune and notoriety. My brothers are not interested. I'm very interested in fame and notoriety. My brothers could care less.
Isn't it amazing? You're same parents, same family, and how different.
Completely different. So kind of the same things, the same tools that you might use to get along with your siblings as adults are the same tools you may need to use at work and get along with people at work who have different political views. And, you know, you may not hang out with them, but you do have to work with them every day, and we have to find a way to make it work.
Well, I think that's beautifully said. I mean, it's really about learning how to cope and deal and using those tools. And what do they say? You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. Your relatives will really always be in your life, specifically your siblings. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, there's really no greater connection, but it doesn't necessarily mean that those relationships will always be strong, will always be healthy. It really takes working hard at it. Like a marriage, like anything
it
we
is.
Do in life.
Yes. Yeah, and wanting to. I mean, I know people who say, you know, this is my sister, but I choose not to spend time with her.
Right.
And that's a decision, too. It's not here. We're not here to preach at all. But if you want to get along, sometimes it's people don't say what they feel for years.
That's true.
And then things kind of simmer under the surface.
Yeah,
because they're pretty, you know, anyway.
I like what Randy said just a second ago about the fact that you don't agree politically with your brother. Greeks say politics and religion should be off the table. Because wars start that way.
Oh, that's very true.
They believe that. So I feel, as you said, don't talk about issues that you know they are sensitive and get everybody excited.
Because here's one thing I know about siblings. You're not going to change their mind about anything.
No.
Absolutely.
And in spouses,
too.
You know, my husband and I have the same politics, but if we didn't, we wouldn't discuss it.
Right, right.
No, isn't there a famous couple that they have two separate, they're reporters and they're...
Many.
So
they focus on what they do have in common,
not what they
don't. Absolutely. All right. So it's, you know, so we've been talking about siblings and some of the resources. It's trevorcrow.com. She's a licensed family therapist, and we're delighted to have her on. Dr. Kevin Lehman, L-E-M-A-N, and The Birth Order Book and Parenting Your Powerful Child, already a bestseller. There's also another book where I didn't interview this person, but a lot of people have mentioned Siblings Without Rivalry as a great starting point to raising your kids so that the problems maybe don't get deep-rooted. And a lot of it lies in the context of the family and the quality of the relationship with the parents. A lot of other advice I've read online, and I'm strictly not an expert, just channeling the online information, is that the way parents settle conflict can model
matters
for their children.
Absolutely.
The way the siblings will handle conflict.
Yes.
So if parents are, you know, fighting and hitting
powerful
below the belt, then...
And I think I love what you said earlier before, talking about how you raised your children when there was an argument and the disagreement, you had them deal with it amongst themselves. So that's very powerful.
And also, you know, in my current and hopefully last marriage, you know, if we fight fair.
Right.
And careful when you're arguing to model good conflict resolution, because kids have to know, as part of not being entitled, that their parents do disagree.
Right.
But sometimes you agree to disagree, and the way you resolve a conflict is more important than the conflict. So let's end. We have final tips. As always, we end with the Life Talk show. And Diana, what's yours?
Just a quote. I love siblings, nature's way of creating a different version of you.
Oh, lovely. Nikki?
Sibling relationships can be challenging, and you can always find surrogate siblings.
Yes, we all have our extra families that we've created. And I'll end with mine, which is a quote I read somewhere. And just, I think it might have been in Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, but in the category of everybody's your teacher. But it said, maybe the family we're born into is the universe teaching us tolerance and acceptance and empathy.
Beautiful.
By giving us people that we love despite our differences. So
love
with that, we end this episode of the Life Talk Show. Remember, you can download any of our past shows on iTunes or on Podomatic. Just do a search on the Life Talk Show, and thank you for joining us. You've been listening to the Life Talk Show on WDJZ AM. If you have an idea for a future topic, would like to be a guest or a sponsor of our show, or just tell us what you think, please email us at info@thelifetalkshow.com. Our Twitter handle is @LifeTalkShow, and our Facebook page is The Life Talk Show. Sharing ideas for meaning, joy, and success. The Life Talk Show with Randy, Diana, and Nikki on WDJZ AM every Saturday at 4. The Life Talk Show. Join us.